Welcome to Healing Place Church, where our mission is to be a healing place for a hurting world. We hope to enrich your life through reaching, serving, giving, and building. As you listen to this teaching, be inspired to fulfill your God-given destiny through the power of His Word.
Welcome all those who have joined us online. Hey, let's clap our hands for every single person who's joined us on our online campus. Fantastic. You know, just remembering when I was younger, I'm 47 now, that when I was growing up, when you would hear the expression, you know, 2005 or 2010, and here it is, 2012. When I was growing up, it felt like that was never really going to happen. It just felt so far away. It felt so far removed. 2012. It seems so far off, but could you imagine now it's here? When I was growing up, you thought, my parents told me that 2012, we're riding in cars that fly. Come on, somebody. It's the Jetsons. I mean, you really thought that. Your parents convinced you of that. And so here we are. It's here. It's here before you know it. And guess what? It'll be gone before you know it. That's how life works. That's how time works. That's why you have to cherish and you have to value it. When you walk through things like we've walked through this past week with the Sublette family, when you speak with a family this morning who that 13-year-old, that tragic accident that took his life. Can I tell you something? When you have that conversation, you have those conversations with your family and people that you do like. When you have those conversations with people, it makes you cherish life. It makes you want to value the assignment. It makes you want to grab hold to the moments that you have, to the time that you've been allotted, and you want to make the most of your relationships. You want to say the things that need to be said. You want to embrace the things that need to be embraced, and you want to get away from the things that are distractions. Can I have a good amen? You know, the devil is a great designer of distractions that lead you away from the things that are most important. He will craft whole seasons of your life that will lead you away from God's word, lead you away from God's will. So in moments like this where we're crossing over from 11 to 12, we've got to do everything we can to get it right. We've got to embrace the time. We've got to look at the calendar. That's why I love it. I think it's so important. And you heard Jason talk about it. You heard the team on the news talk about it, how you give the first part of your year to God. That's why we're praying. That's why we're fasting. That's why I love that you're here today. You're giving the very first day of the year to God. You could have stayed home, but you decided to be in church. And here you are at 11:15 service. We'll have service tonight at 5 o'clock. Did you know there were actually people here at 8:30 this morning sitting in seats ready for church? And I think they all went to bed early. Let me tell you something. They never saw the ball drop. Come on, somebody. They went on to sleep. But I mean, you see, all the people that will come to church today, all the great churches in our community, you made a decision. You wanted to give Him first. You wanted Him to have the first thing. That's why we're praying in the mornings. That's why we're fasting, and we've got great resources for you. That's why we're taking the first Wednesday, all coming together through all of our student ministries, everything together, and we're going to be talking throughout the month of January on awakening, and we're going to be praying over your needs. Many of you got this when you came in. Oh, please fill this out. It's so important that we give the first part of our month to prayer. Amen. Do you know there are some things that are never going to happen in our life unless we seek God through prayer? Just not going to happen. Not going to happen in our home. Not going to happen with our kids. So we give this first part, this first season, this first, you gave an offering this morning. Why? Because you're giving a first part of all the of your resources to God. A first part of 2012. You know what the big mama principle is of that? Here it is. If you give Him the first, He blesses the rest. If you give Him the first, He blesses the rest. That's why we seek Him. That's why we're going to spend some time in prayer. That's why we're willing to fast. And I'm excited about that. There's an awakening website that you can go to and gives you all these tools and all these amazing resources. And throughout the month of January, you can get daily devotionals. Every day, there's somebody teaching a devotional. You need to check that out. Be a part of that where you can grow and you can learn. And all of us can kind of walk out this together as a church. That's why I love today, as we prayed about our time together on this New Year's Day, at the close of our service, we're going to receive communion together. Just pray. I'm going to give you an opportunity to receive Christ. This is what it's all about, our first harvest for the year, which we believe will be the first. We've already seen, goodness, 20, 30 people in our first service receive Christ. Guess what? They were the first fruit of what we believe will be thousands this year to receive Jesus Christ. Can I have a good amen? And then we're gonna receive communion together. Then at the close of our service, our prayer partners are going to finish out a little different on this New Year's Day. Our prayer partners are going to be here. I want to encourage you, if you have a prayer need, if you need healing in your body, if you're walking through something right now, something's going on in your family, if you're fighting something, don't fight it alone. Don't go after it alone. Let your heart be awakening. Let someone connect and pray with you. That's what we're looking forward to. We just believe that God, during this time of communion and prayer, God will kind of do some reset on some of our life, restart some things in our life. A lot of times when we walk through a transition between 11 and 12, 2011, 2000, we're walking through a transition. And for many of us, you're aware that you want to see some transformation in your life. Maybe with school, it may be with family, it may be with relationship, it may be with your personal walk with Christ. I don't know what it is. So you want a transformation during this transition. Guess what? A lot of that cannot happen without touching heaven and heaven touching our heart, touching our life. That's what I want to encourage you about. I want to share a scripture with you. It's found in Philippians. Philippians chapter 3. Maybe you have your Bible with you. You're watching online. You've got it on your phone. Philippians chapter 3. I love this chapter of the Bible because what's happening here is Paul is talking to a group of people who have a lot of thoughts and there's a lot of opportunities. Have you ever been, let me think about this. How many's ever been to Five Guys? You know what I love about it? Small selection. How many knows when you go to Cane's, you don't get chicken shawarma. You get chicken fingers. Small selection. Have you ever been to certain restaurants or certain things where the menu is like an encyclopedia? They serve everything. You're thinking, you mean to tell me they can be this good in everything? This menu is vast. I mean, they're cooking the whole globe right there on Segan Lane. Come on, somebody. The whole globe is in Segan Lane. So what happened, it's happening here, is Paul is talking to a group of people who have so many options, and they're taking a lot of them. Paul comes along and says, you need to be careful. Here's what I've learned about life. And I love what he says in Philippians chapter 3, and I think it's a hallmark scripture for us as we kick off 2012. It says, I want to know Christ. That's what I want to know. You may know a lot of things, but what I want to know, what I want to get to know, and what I want to know better is I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his suffering, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to obtain the resurrection from the dead. Paul's saying, I believe in life after the grave. And I believe it's based on knowing Christ. Then he goes on to say this, not that I've already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on. I love that word. I press on to take hold of that. Everybody say that. For which Christ Jesus took hold of me. It's the idea of when Jesus reached out and grabbed hold to Paul, Paul turned around and reached out and grabbed back hold to Jesus. Jesus reached through that window of opportunity there on the road to Damascus, grabbed hold of Paul's life. Paul responded and said, Lord, what have I to do for you? What do you want me to do? What do you want me to be about? Paul immediately gave his life and surrendered to Jesus, even though he had a lot of different things going on in that noggin of his. He surrendered his heart to Christ. That's what he's saying right there. I've gotten a hold and I took hold. I grabbed that which took hold of me. Then here's what I love. Verse 13, brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining or pressing towards what is ahead. I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. I think that's a great passage. I think verse 13 is a good theme scripture for 2012. I think it's a launching place for us as it relates to awakening, what's going to happen through the weekends and what we're going to talk about on Wednesday night about how life works and how does marriage work and how do we look into the book of Proverbs and the book of Psalms and the New Testament and we try to figure out how does parenting work and how does my private world work? How do these things work in life? At First Wednesday, with communion, with prayer, with fasting, with connecting to the house of God. What is verse 13 saying to us? It's saying to us that I press on. There's something I'm going to do. I'm going to do one thing. One thing. I was up thinking about that the last couple of nights and just reading where Paul sums it up out of all the options, all the experiences, all the opportunities, all the sermons, all the cities, all the people that he's had relationship with. I think it's amazing that Paul could sum it up in verse 13 and say, I do not consider myself to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, one thing, one purpose. Paul says, I have one aim, I have one goal, I have one interest, one thing I know and one thing I'm going to do. You know what I love about the Bible? I love how the Bible goes on and tells us what it is. We don't have to guess. Don't have to try to figure it out. He says right here, he says, there's one thing, there's this one thing that I want to give my life to. There's this one thing that I want to pursue. There's this one thing that I'm aiming at, and it's forgetting those things which are behind me, and it's looking forward to what's ahead of me in Christ Jesus. I love what the New Living kind of, it says it this way. It says, forgetting what lies behind me and reaching forward to what lies just ahead of me. Paul doesn't say, I've got 10 things I'm trying to figure out. Paul doesn't say, I'm working on 5 things, I'm working on 3 things, or I'm working on your thing, or I'm working on their thing, I'm working on this thing and that thing, but I'm working on one thing, one thing, one, one, one. What is the power of one thing? What could be the power of one moment? What could be the power of one second, one day, one decision, one gift, one commitment, one conversation? Think about how your life has changed because of one conversation. If you just take a moment, think about the timeline of grace and the rhythm of grace in each of our lives. Some of you can track back to 1 week that changed your life. One person that changed your life, one commitment, one decision, one action, one you know, season of your life that now affects everything. There was one domino that knocked over a lot of dominoes, and now your life is blessed, or now you're married, or now you have children, or now you're in a profession, now you're living your dream. Why? Because you made one conversation. It's happened several times. Guess what? That happens in the positive way, but you know what? It also happens in the negative way. I know people that have ruined their life because of one day. Oh, come on, is anybody hearing me in this house? Ruined their life because of 1 hour, one relationship, one conversation, one bad decision. Ruined their whole life because of 1 second. 1 second. One, 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 one. Paul says there's one thing. I started thinking, what's the difference between a year? I mean, what is really the difference between 2011 and 2012? I mean, what is the big difference? We go from 1 year to another year. We have this transition of one season to another season where we move from 11 to 12. What is the difference between these 2 years? As I thought about it, you know, it dawned on me. It's one thing. It's called 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Ah! One. Do you know what the difference is? One single second is the difference between 2011 and 2012. Don't tell me that one thing can't change your life. That one thought, that one moment, that one commitment, that one decision, one gift, one idea. One act of faithfulness, one small act of kindness, being moved with compassion one time, one yes Or how about this one no? How much can that change your life? Chart your course. Impact history over your life. Paul says, I press on towards that. It's the one thing. It's the one thing. Don't have 50 things. You know, my wife loves, and she gives me a list in paragraph form. It just messes me up. Don't give me a list in paragraph form. It's not going to happen. I need an itemized one by one. Really what I need her to do is tell me one thing at one time. Don't even give me a list of 10 things. It'll stop me in my tracks. But if you go tell me to do one thing, I'm going to knock it upside the head. Then give me one more thing to do. I see it each as a one, each as an individual. One thing. One thing, one thing. Paul says, the one thing I do, I don't look behind me. I'm not living in yesterday. I'm not being paralyzed by yesterday. I'm forgetting, matter of fact, I'm forgetting what is behind me, and I'm pressing and stretching what is in front of me. That's the one thing I'm going to do, Paul says. I wrote down a couple things before we received communion. We're going to the Lord's table just in a few moments, which I think all this ties together in remembering Christ. Because when we remember Christ, we get to kind of recall what he did for us. And then we get to reclaim it for our life. And I don't think there's anything that will hit the reset button better than you and I focusing in on the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It'll hit a reset for you. But can I give you four thoughts? I want to give you four statements of good news for 2012. Now, again, not a lot of sleep, so they're a touch random. Can I have an amen? They're just a little random. But I want to give you four statements that are good news to 2012. Here's the first one. The past has passed, so let it pass on so you can press on. Come on, somebody. Every time I say press on, I think about how much money I spend on press-on nails for Isabella. Should have bought stock in press-on nails. Bought some yesterday at the dollar store. Holla. Gotta love the dollar store. The past has passed, so let it pass on. Because you can't press on if you're living in the past. It's impossible to press on if you're living in the past. When I was a young pastor, I was a youth pastor, and I was working with Pastor Jim Rentz. He is a senior pastor. For some reason, he would invite me in for marriage counseling. I would sit and watch him. I mean, here's Brother Jim, Miss Esther, counseling these grown people. I was 23 years old. They were counseling grown men and women. They'd been married 15 years, 20 years. I mean, grown-ups. And it would be them, the Rentzes, and this couple that they were counseling, and me just sitting there. And a lot of times they'd be getting some intense stuff. I mean, they'd be getting in it, and they'd be looking at me like, what is he doing here? I don't know why I'm here, but sure is interesting. I mean, it's like an education. And Brother Rentz just, I knew, in his heart, he knew that one day I would need to learn, and that's a hard thing to learn. And so I was able to sit in that. And you know what? You know what I started realizing is that Brother Rentz would always say this. Listen, now, do you want to make it work? Are you sure you want to make it work? Yeah. Because let me tell you something. You can't work with people who don't want to make it work. Come on, somebody. If they don't want to make it work, ain't nothing I can do. I'm not Jesus. I'm not a miracle worker. I can't force y'all to love each other and to be kind to you. Do you want to make it work? And if they would say yes, he would always look at them and say, number one rule on the refrigerator, don't bring up the past. Why? Because you cannot go forward if you're bringing up the past. How many of you can't be married to somebody who's living in yesterday? You can't, it's impossible. That's what Paul is saying here. Let the past pass on. Yesterday is gone. It is over. Let it pass on so you can press on. We learn things from the past. We acknowledge things from the past. We extract things from the past. We appreciate things from the past. We get wisdom and knowledge from the past. But you can't live in that. You can only live in your now and your tomorrow. You cannot live in your yesterday. Here's the second thing that I have learned. The past is no longer worthy of your time and energy. Give your time to your present and your future. It needs you. Today and tomorrow is begging for your now. It is begging for your now. Right now. The past, there's nothing there. The past is over. You've got a now and you've got a tomorrow that needs your energy. That needs your love, that needs your TLC, that needs your witness, that needs your gift, that needs your creativity, that needs your resource, that needs your testimony, that needs your story, that needs your witness. Your today and your tomorrow, they need it. If you're giving your energy to something of yesterday, then guess what? You have no energy to invest in your today. Can't let it happen. Here's the third thing that I've learned. Third statement, stop letting your past be so dear that it limits your amazing future in God. Oh, come on. I'm going to preach it to myself if I'm going to preach it to somebody. Because you know what happens? We look at our past and we get so excited and we, oh boy, could you imagine trying to date somebody who all they want to do is talk about who they used to date? Well, you better go back and date them and get up out my face. Talk to me. Think about it. Could you imagine going out today? You know, you work hard. You take them out somewhere nice to eat. You know, like Jack in the Box. I mean, you're going for a value meal. You're bumping it up. And when you're there, all they're doing is talking about how their previous boyfriend used to take them to Taco Bell. Well, then you better make a run for the border. Wow. What's happening? You're letting your past be so dear that it limits your amazing future in God. You know, before I was saved, I had great friends. Yeah, you do. You were going to hell. Think about it. What's the trade-off? It's just, your failures in your past will paralyze you. Your successes in your past will paralyze you. Well, I used to make some money back in 98. You got to feed your family in 2012, my friend. I made great decisions back in 2004. You got to make a decision now. I really served God back in 88. Somebody needs you to serve God now. Quit worrying about, don't be so dear to your past. Did you miss? It limits your future. God, guess what? Yesterday has expired. 2011 expired. We acknowledge, we appreciate, we extract, we learn, we grow, we got wisdom. But guess what? It expired. I am a cereal connoisseur. There's times I won't even eat a meal at night because I want to eat a bowl of cereal. I see a bowl of cereal sometimes as a fantastic meal. It's like a 5-star meal for me. As soon as we'll go out to dinner, I'm like, I'm not going to eat. I'm going to eat a bowl of cereal when I get home. There's nothing like planning that in your mind and in your spirit. I mean, charting out your bowl. Imagining what spoon you're going to select. Playing the whole thing out in your mind. I love the prep work of a bowl of cereal. I actually get into that. And I think about, boy, when I get home, I'm poor just right. Put everybody to bed. Nobody going to be bothering because I can't get soggy. I mean, it's all targeted. It's strategic. It's aligned. And there's nothing worse than pouring whatever your cereal of choice is. I don't know what that is. I'm getting older. So normally mine involves fiber. And then looking in the refrigerator, two things can depress you. When there is no milk or when there is expired milk. Friend, some of you are living on spoiled milk. I'll tell you something. God's got a lot of cows. He can come up with another gallon of milk for your life. Come on, somebody. He'll turn you out another gallon for 2012, for whatever your child's facing, for whatever your finances are facing. God can come up with another gallon of milk for your life. Quit living on expired milk. Here's the last thing, and I'll finish up with this. Thank you. Let me tell you something. That's a police officer clapping, and y'all didn't clap. I think y'all ought to try that again just to get on his good side. That brother will arrest you. He will throw you in jail. He got a gun. Here's the last thing. Is this right here. Fourth good news state for 2012. Things, and I think you need to remember this, and I need to remember this. Things in your rearview mirror appear smaller. I can tell you that right now. Sometimes we make our past so big and our future so tiny. That's a huge failure. So now my future is so tiny. I had such a big win. It can never be that good again. You know, back in the day, I used to watch Saturday Night Live, and there was a little sitcom they did called Tiny Elvis. For real. Tiny Elvis. Tiny, he's so tiny. How you doing? Hey, what's going on, Tiny Elvis? And they would take Tiny Elvis there. They'd put him up on the dash. Hey, Tiny Elvis, what you doing? Tiny Elvis couldn't do nothing. They said, Tiny Elvis changed the radio station. Tiny Elvis so little, he couldn't even turn the knob. You know Tiny Elvis can't turn the knob. He's just a little Tiny Elvis. He just took him everywhere. Tiny Elvis. Too many of us are serving Tiny Jesus. My Jesus so little. You know, Jesus can't even, he can't hold a biscuit. He's so little. His hands are so frail. They like T-Rexes. He can't do nothing. Just little tiny hands. T-Rex Jesus. Jesus ain't no T-Rex. He ain't tiny. He can hold your life. He can hold your children. Come on, somebody. He can hold your future. He can hold you. He is a big Jesus. Once you get your communion in your hand. I went to Oral Roberts about 15 years ago, university. I remember being in the prayer tower. And I can remember the lady said, and I have total respect for Pastor Brother Oral Roberts and, you know, all that. I don't have any time to dog anybody. I know people dog other pastors and preachers. I'm just trying to get my wife and my three children to heaven. That's taking all the energy I got. I ain't got no time to dog anybody else. And so I went over there. And they were telling about Pastor Brother Oral Roberts. And here he is, just Oklahoma born, just out there in those oil fields, just trying to reach people. All these thousands of people getting reached. He just country, just preaching. Had the vision to build a college and all this. I remember when we were building this, I was over there, probably about 5 years ago. And I was over there and I was looking at the buildings. I was like, wow, knowing what we were going through to build this. And you know, the hospital and all these things, a lot of things have happened since then. But she said, this is when Brother Oral was in the prayer tower and he looked outside when he goes, believe in God for some great missions work and some crusade that was going to cost like a gazillion dollars. And she said, this is where Oral Roberts saw a 90-foot Jesus walk across the parking lot. And there's some people who snickered. 90 feet. I looked around all those buildings. 5,000 students. Big old church. Feeding people. Missions television. Everybody snickered. 90 foot of Jesus. I thought, I'll tell you what. To do all this, Jesus better be 90 feet. Because too many people are serving a 9-inch Jesus. I don't know about you. I don't plan on serving a 9-inch Jesus. I serve a big God because I need him big because I'm trying to raise three children in a world that is psycho. Trying to stay married, trying to reach the lost, trying to give out Bibles, trying to plant church in Honduras, trying to see people rescued from the grips and addiction and the vices of this world. God better be big. Amen. I need a big God for my life.
Thank you for listening. For more information about Healing Place Church, go to healingplacechurch.org or give us a call at 225-753-2273.